Let's take our Bibles and let's not turn to Matthew today, but rather let's turn to the book of Psalms. And if you're able, remain standing for the reading of God's holy word. And so we'll look at Psalm number 4 this morning. And I want to concentrate our hearts and minds on the first three verses today. Psalm chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Oh, Father, would you draw near to us today? For all who have humbled themselves, may you draw near, and yet it is not too late that the pride humble themselves before you. May the notion that the God who is listens to us overwhelm us today and encourage us to indeed pray without ceasing. And some, Father, because of the care of the world, have just ceased. Oh, light our faith again, fan our faith again, and to see that our prayers are our breathing with you. Encourage us this day. Hear us as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And let's be seated. Ask your indulgence if this morning I have to take several swallows of water. This morning, I know you. Some of you are flipping and looking, and all those pieces of paper. I don't see my message notes, and you can look all you want. You're not going to find them. Today, I want you to just listen. Message notes are sometimes helpful, and sometimes they're distracting because you're trying to remember the last thing he said, and he's moved on. So. Today, at the end, should you want message notes, I've typed up a rather full message note. So you'll have all the scriptures that I mentioned. You'll have much of what I say. Not all, but much of what I say. And you can pick it up as you leave today. This morning, I want to break away from Matthew and just to share with you a little bit of what's been going on in my own heart during the retreat that you allowed me to go on for the first part of last week. And just to encourage you. It's something that I have been encouraged in myself, and it's that last phrase of verse 3. The Lord hears when I call to him. Now just let that sit on your eardrum for just a moment. Just wallow it around in the chambers of your heart for just a second. The Lord, the personal name, the great I am, the all-sufficient one, who does not need to hear from us, but chooses to hear from us when we call to him. The Lord high and lifted up, and he's figuratively speaking busy, but it's not that much troublesome to him to keep all the galaxies and all their locations and all the molecules of all that he's created, even this fleshly body here, all operating according to his design and his laws of science. The Lord, well, he's got all that going on, and all the billions of voices on the face of the earth, and maybe some of them crying out to him, he hears me when I cry out to him. The maker of heaven and earth, the one who made me, longs to commune with me. The Lord, judge of the wicked, and he who is the reward of the righteous, is willing to hear when we call upon him. The Lord who reigns and is sovereign, yet invites us into the mystery of how he uses our prayers on with his ongoing plan that he's known from the beginning to pray to him. And we're encouraged. The Lord hears when I call to him. David repeats this over in Psalm 34, verses 15 through 17. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. But when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. We just read a verse earlier in Psalm 27. The Lord desires our intimacy. Seek my face. He says elsewhere, seek me and you shall be found and I shall be found by you. Seek my face. Therefore, this is one of the clues to what true prayer is. What the prayers that God loves to answer are prayers that begin with seeking him and not just his handouts. And when God hears, is he unable to act? Of course he's able to act. Jeremiah 32:27, the Lord testifies of himself, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? And Jesus reminds us, or we're reminded twice in Luke, that nothing is impossible for God. And then the inverse of that, when Jesus is talking about salvation with God, all things are possible. And David has proof of this. David knows God as an prayer-answering God. Look here in verse 1. You have given me relief when I was in distress. And so that there is this principle that to pray now means that you need to remember you're praying in the past when God answered. And remembering that there were times when God answered your prayers will give you fuel, as it does here for David in verse 3, to pray again. Because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not lack or dwindle or diminish in any of his powers or any of his abilities. He is ageless, and his strength never wanes. But the reality is, but sometimes, Pastor Ken, I feel like God isn't answering. And why is that? So let me share with you some reasons for why it may seem like God isn't answering. Well, the first reason is this, and this was on your notes, so don't worry about jotting it now. Just absorb. One reason for seeming unanswered prayers is because of unprayed prayers. We think about going to God, but we never do. Or when we do go to God, we tell him, like our butler. We demand of him. Or maybe we bargain with him, as if he's some local merchant that we can get the better of if we just sweeten the deal somehow. But the Bible is very clear. One reason for unanswered prayers is you have not, because you ask not. Sometimes we are like children, doing everything else but ask. And so there's mom or dad baking cookies in the kitchen, and child of whatever age, or maybe the spouse walks through and says, they sure do smell good, Mom. Hint, 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 hint. Well, they sure do look good, Mom. Hint, 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 hint. I sure would like to have some at supper time. And maybe your mom was like my mom, who said, sometimes nicely and sometimes not, well, maybe if you asked. And maybe we'll tell God things and persuade God of the way things ought to be and really show Him how your way would be better, but the matter itself is never prayed for. Or maybe sometimes we're not like a child who wants a cookie. Or not like the young beau who's taking a kiss from his girl. Please, 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 can I have a cookie? Please! And for an hour. Until she finally says, yes, take one. Or the young beau, please, please, please. But there may be matters that we face that we never humble ourselves before God, either in private or public, to say, please. Because it forces our hand that we're not in control. That now we are dependent. Though we like to put on the persona of control in our families or our workplaces or the groups that we associate with, praying demands dependence. And we don't pray. We don't beg and plead like that child for the cookie. We don't persist in our requests. Well, I asked once. Well, good for you. But there is something in the Scriptures about persistence in praying, not God responding to your barking demands. So one reason for the seeming feeling of unanswered prayers is just that, unprayed prayers. Well, Pastor Ken, I get that, but I've been asking, but it seems like He's not hearing. And so that might be, but it's not because, as even some modern theologians think, that He's old, or that He's died off, or that He's grown feeble and is not able to answer your prayers, though He might want to. No, that's not true according to the Scriptures. Or that somehow He has fallen asleep or inattentive. Surely there has been that moment for us as parents in which we have nodded off only to find a child asking a question. You can hear by the inflection of the tone, and you have no idea what they've said, so there's no way for you to respond. God's not like that. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. The Scripture says His eyes are toward the righteous. That was the one that we read in Psalm 34. His eyes are toward the righteous. His ears toward the Christ. Imagine that. God, we just got done singing, I lean on the Lord in all those difficult times that we have. But the Scripture also paints the Lord leans towards us. Maybe now He'll pray. Maybe now she'll pray. Maybe now they'll know they can't handle this alone and call upon the one who can. Oh, it's not for any of these, so why else would it seem He doesn't hear? The hard one is because sometimes we love our sin more than we love God. And we know that when we get to the place of neediness before God, He's going to probably say to us, what about this sin I've been talking to you about? Psalm 66:18 puts it very clearly for us. If I had cherished iniquity, which is an old word for sin, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. And all kinds of sins, right? Hypocrisy, lust, mean-spiritedness, bitterness, but basically all come down to pride. in some form or fashion, we're wanting to be God in the lives of other people. And God leaves us to ourselves. You think you're God? Then answer your prayers. But when you're ready to trust the one true God, then pray to me. Confess your sins. Repent. And run to me again in childlike dependence. We have to ask ourselves, do we want sin's pleasure or God's power? And He'll let us have one of those, but He will not let us have both. God will leave us to our sinfulness if that's what we truly desire. But if what we long for, what we need in our hearts when we sing a song like, I need Thee every hour, in that moment of need, He will give us power when He's all that we want and not the pleasures of this world. So sometimes He does not hear and answer because we harbor iniquity in our hearts. And so if we're in a season where it feels like God's not listening, it's good to pull away and say, God, like David said in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know me. See if there be any wicked way in me. Spend some time reading the Word and just asking the Lord, is there anything here that's preventing my prayers from hearing you? Or my prayers being heard by you? Sometimes the Lord does not answer or seem to hear because we ask with the wrong motive. It's in James 4. Lord, I want that girl. Well, do you want her for her glory, or do you want her for the Lord's glory, or you just want her because you're alone and having her fills the needs of your world? Sometimes we ask with the wrong motive. Can I say that I could find this prayer being prayed by Jesus? Which gets us to another thing, that not only may we pray with the wrong motive, that we're not praying according to the Lord's will. How do I know what the Lord's will is? Well, go and look at the prayers of Jesus and see the kinds of things He prayed for. John 14:13, whatever you ask in my name, said Jesus, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Well, when it says that whatever you ask in my name, doesn't mean that if I just pray anything and tack on the magic words in Jesus' name, then God's going to do it. Now, in Jesus' name is not a talisman. It's not a lucky charm. That whatever you say beforehand, God must do. When we pray in Jesus' name, what we're saying, all the properties, all the characteristics, all the attributes of Christ, all the things that are in this prayer that are according to who Jesus is and the principles of Christ's kingdom, if all what I've just prayed has been within this parameter, amen, which means so let it be. But you're also saying to God when you're praying in Jesus' name, if anything in here doesn't square with your will, then it's not going to happen. You're admitting that. You're confessing that even as you pray. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. The Lord may not hear us, depending, and this could fall under the first category of sin, but significant to pull it out, that the Lord may not hear us depending on the mistreatment of others. How do I treat the poor? Well, if you go to Proverbs 21, verse 12 and 13, you'll see that the Lord is talking about how the wicked disadvantage the poor. And He goes on to say, whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. And sometimes we pull that verse out on verse 13 and say, well, it means that he will not be answered if he ever gets poor. But if you read verse 12, the one who is hearing and answering is the Lord Himself. Whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. How are you treating your wife? I, I almost blew the whole morning this morning because of this one. I had to stand before the instrumentalist and repent before my wife. And so 1 Peter 3:7, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. Why? Why would I want to be so tender and in tune and understanding and honoring of my wife? And he tells us, so that your prayers may not be hindered. If you mistreat God's people, Micah has a scathing verse in Micah chapter 3, verses 2 through 4. Oh, you who hate the good and love the evil, who tear the skin from off my people and their flesh from their bones, and on and on and on. Then they will cry to the Lord, these who are evildoers who mistreat God's people. Then they will cry to the Lord, but He will not answer them. He will hide His face from them at that time because they have made their deeds evil. And then lastly, in the realm of possibility, why isn't God the Father, as we were taught to pray, why isn't God the Father hearing an answer? The answer may be because He's not your Father. He might, in His mercy, as He gives rain to both the good and the wicked, the sun to shine on the good and the wicked, He might, in His mercy, answer your prayer. But He is not obligated. Answer the cries of the wicked. You cannot cry our Father if you have not yet believed in His Son and been adopted as a child of His forever and ever. If you're trying to live outside of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet you want to sort of bypass Jesus and go to the sort of in a fallen, unbiblical frame of mind, I just want to go to the top and go to God, God's not going to hear that. Why? Because the Son is God. And we are to pay homage to the Son. Psalm 2, kiss the Son. We are to adore Him. And the Father is not going to hear us if we are critical of or rebelling against or even persecuting the name of Jesus. It may be that your prayers are not being heard or seem not to be heard because you're not His child. But there's remedy to that. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, even today, may be saved, trusting in the work of Christ to die in our place on a cross that we deserve, Him being physically raised after 3 days, raised and coming again, just as we've been looking in the Gospel of Matthew. So now, I've said, because of harboring iniquity, asking with the wrong motive, not asking according to the will and word of God, if you're in the middle of mistreating others, the poor, your wife, or mistreating God's people, or maybe it's because that you're not a child and He is not obligated to hear. But you may say, Pastor, none of these really apply to me? Are you sure? Maybe it would still be good to go home this afternoon and pray as we said David did, search me, O God, and know my heart. But if that's the case, if it still feels like I'm not being heard, maybe some encouragements, some reminders of Scripture. Because we do live in this microwave society, don't we? Or maybe I should even say microwave smartphone society, in which we got to have it. If he or she doesn't answer my text in 3 seconds, I'm already starting to get boiled up. Some of us, remember, used to take 3 days or 3 weeks to get a letter of communication from somebody else. And now, 3 seconds, and we're ready to write them off our contact list. Right? We live in such a microwave society. I see parents looking at me. Children, if mom and dad text you, worried about you, you need to text them. So what does the Bible say then? So let's remember that some answers are yes, and we see them fairly quickly. And some answers are no, and some answers are wait. Daniel had to wait for many weeks to an answer to prayer. So even godly people have to wait. And I was wrestling with this week, and I'm prone to generally say that's the hardest answer to get from God. And I'm somewhat second-guessing that. I think we'd rather hear wait than no. We can handle wait because yes might be coming. But no means no. And I have to yield to the Lord. I don't always get to know why He said no. I mean, we've done this as children. We've had children do this to us. Well, tell me why. Mom, why can't I take that car out? Or tell me why I can't have that cookie when I want it right now. I'm giving them to the judge. You know, you want it, but don't always get an answer. And the Lord doesn't always tell us why He gives a yes or why He gives a no or why He gives a wait. That's His prerogative, the reasons. Sometimes we see them down the road looking back. Oh, that's why God said wait. Or that's why God said no. So some answers are yes, and some are no, and some are wait. And some answers are given immediately. I'm thinking of Elijah. Praise. You know, the prophets of Baal are doing their thing for hours upon hours upon hours. And Elijah prays once, and immediately the fire of heaven comes down. Some answers are prayed immediately. But according to the scriptures, as I just said with Daniel, some take time. In my own life, I'll share with you. 25 years, I prayed for the salvation of my brother. 25 years. And I just got off the phone from my brother talking about what he's teaching in his Sunday school class. Now he's praying for his sons to follow the Lord. Was that easy, those 25 years? No. But I never got a sense from the Lord to stop praying about that. Sometimes prayers are delayed. Just like when Jesus taught about the persistent widow, and He taught it to His disciples, I think for this issue, sometimes God will delay. And why will He do that? Because sometimes He's building us up. He's building us in the Spirit to be patient and long-suffering. And the way that He does that sometimes is to delay His prayers. Understand that sometimes your prayers are a part of spiritual battle. And this is the reason why Daniel's prayers in Daniel chapter 9, if you want to go look at it, Daniel's prayers were answered in an unusual moment that I don't fully comprehend. The Lord says that when Daniel prayed, He gave an answer immediately. But there was spiritual battle in the heavenlies going on that delayed the answer reaching Daniel. Think about that for a moment. Now, your praying is spiritual warfare. And then you have to understand that His timing is perfect, and ours is usually impatient. Remember that the heart is not a good judge of what is right and true. If God is delaying, or if He has already answered, or if God's really listening or not. It feels like He's not listening. Look, the heart may feel that way, but the heart is deceptively wicked. But what is always true is the Scripture. So go back to the Scriptures. If you're wondering and struggling about praying, remind yourself what God's Word says. Proverbs 15:29. They're on the notes you'll pick up if you want to. The Lord is far from the wicked. Again, Lord, search my heart. And see if there be any wicked way in me, because the Lord is far from the wicked. But He hears the prayer of the righteous. Psalm 145, verses 18 and 19. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills not just some, not just a select group. He fulfills all the prayers. He answers all the prayers of those who come to Him in truth. And who is truth but Christ Jesus? He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. the issue of holiness again, joined to our praying. He also hears their cry and saves them. Psalm 33:18, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His steadfast love. Psalm 4:3, the one that we just read, but know that the Lord has set apart the godly for Himself. The Lord hears when I call to Him. Lord, I am one of Your children. You have set me apart in Christ Jesus. I know I have the right to come into the throne room of grace and mercy, that Christ's blood has burst open for me. I come in His name. I'm set apart for You. Psalm 28:6, blessed be the Lord, for He has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. If God hears the prayers of others, He can also hear my prayer. 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayer. But again, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Do you hear a pattern there? Harbor any sin, and you can't have any expectation that God's going to hear. Remember that the Lord has given to us a prayer book. And this is it. It doesn't have to be a secondary book to this. It is filled with all kinds of knowledge for us as to whom we are praying and to why we should pray to Him and what should we be praying about. What should our prayers look like and sound like? Filled with the reminders to pray for the glory of God and not just my little kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's why we're going through the Psalms, to learn, as God's given us this text, this prayer text, to learn how God has honored the prayers of others and to piggyback on these prayer examples that God has given to us. Remember that Christ taught us to pray. Now, why would Christ teach us to pray? Except that He expects that we will pray. Your Savior, whom you are trusting in, has given you some examples of how to pray. Why? He wants to hear from you. He's not going to stiff arm you as long as you come without ongoing sin in your life. Let me just encourage you with some other reminders from the Scriptures. Remember how a hearing God answered a praying Israel, sore in bondage in Egypt for many years, as they cried out to be delivered, and He answered them and defeated Pharaoh. Remember how our hearing God answered a praying Moses when he asked the Lord, show me Your glory, and He hid him in the cleft of the rock as he passed by. Remember how our hearing God answered a praying Samson, a humbled Samson. Oh God, just use me one more time. And God answered by using Samson in the greatest victory over the Philistines. Remember how our hearing God answered a praying David who repented bitterly of adultery and murder. And God restored his relationship. Remember how our hearing God answered a young praying Solomon who asked of the Lord nothing but for wisdom, and the Lord was pleased and gave to him the greatest wisdom of the entire world. Remember how a hearing God answered a praying Elijah who called upon the Lord to defend his name, and he decimated the bull and the altar and the stones with heaven sent from fire. Remember how our hearing God answered a praying Elisha who pleaded with God to revive the dead son of the Shunammite woman. And God was pleased to resuscitate him and restore him to his mother. Remember how our hearing God answered a praying Isaiah who acknowledged his sinfulness before God, and God cleansed him. And then Isaiah who said, Lord, use me, and God sent him into his service. Remember how our hearing God answered a praying Hezekiah who sought the Lord for delivery from the Assyrian forces, and God fought his battles for him. Remember how our hearing God answered a praying Hezekiah who prayed another time, weeping before the Lord for the restoration of health. And God graciously granted him 15 more years. Remember how our hearing God answered a praying Jonah who repented of disobedience and acknowledged that God is sovereign over salvation, and God restored him to his calling out of the belly of the fish. Remember how our hearing God answered a praying Nineveh, responding to the message of Jonah with repentance, and the Lord rescinded their judgment. Remember how our hearing God answered a praying Nehemiah who quickly sought the Lord's favor with the king, and God used Nehemiah to go back to Jerusalem out of exile and rebuild the walls. Remember how our hearing God answered a praying Peter who sought the power of heaven, and God raised Tabitha from the dead. Remember how our hearing God answered a praying Paul requesting the healing for the father of Publius, and God restored his health while enabling Paul to heal others on the island of Malta of all their diseases. Not to mention all the times that our hearing father heard his son in his earthly ministry and fulfilled all that the son prayed. Enough? The temptation will be this. Ah, but Pastor Ken, those are the big guys. How about when God, our hearing God, answered an unnamed praying servant of Abraham who cried for God to provide a wife for Isaac, and God led him to Rebekah? How about the time our hearing God answered a praying, seemingly in the scheme of Israel, nobody, Hannah, begging God for a child, and he gave her Samuel? What about the time our hearing God answered a praying church of mostly unnamed Christians who were intent that Peter be brought out of jail, and God miraculously released him and brought them to their presence even while they were praying? Remember how our hearing God answered even a praying Cornelius who was seeking, a Gentile seeking after God, and God responded by sending Peter with a message of salvation. I just have a question. God changed? No. He is still able, as Paul says, to do all that we ask and more than we can think, according to the power that is within us. Our God indeed is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He is still able to call on us when, or answer us when we call on Him. I was reminded of this past week. So on Wednesday, I'm sharing this with you to hopefully encourage you that remembering that God answers prayers from others helps you to be spurred on in your own prayers. On Wednesday, that the church was gathered here to pray, and from 6:30 to 7:30-ish, and I was away, but I told the elders I'm going to be joining you around the throne. I won't be with you geographically, but I will be at the throne with you praying. And so I was there, and I was on retreat, and I was praying, and in the midst of my praying, just impressed to pray for a nephew of mine, Tommy, whom we have not seen, heard from in 8 years. He's one of my brother's sons. Tommy left home when he was of age and moved out to Iowa, and rebelled against the Lord, rejected everything that he had been taught, became addicted to drugs for a season. I asked my brother about 2 years ago, "Have you heard from Tommy?" And his answer was, "I don't even know if he's alive anymore." He heard from him 6 months later, and then that was the last. So as I'm praying on Wednesday evening, Lord, I feel as if you want me to pray for Tommy. Lord, please draw near to Tommy and keep him safe tonight. Would you somehow, some way, have him communicate either to his dad or his brother that he's alive and that he's okay? I prayed for a season like that. Finished praying and went about my rest of the evening just reading the scriptures and praying some more. And so went to bed, and I was up the next morning. It was about 5:30. I was already up, but just sort of laying there praying before I even put my feet on the floor. And my phone goes off, and it's a message request from Alex D. And my first thought was, I don't know an Alex D. Who's Alex D that he's messaging me, sending me a message request at 5:30 in the morning and like that. The Lord brought it to my mind that when Tommy was on Facebook, he used an alias. It was Alex D. And you might say, well, Pastor Ken, that was a coincidence. And I'm just going to say, I haven't heard from him for 7 to 8 years. None of us have. And the night that I pray for Tommy and his soul, he's calling my phone. And his question was, can I ask you some questions? And I said, well, Tommy, of course you can. So good to hear from you. How can I help you? He said, well, if you don't mind, I just want to ask you about a few things. I said, Tommy, you're more than welcome to, texting. You're more than welcome to. I said, I want you to know I was praying for you last night. To my shame, I'm just sitting there in unbelief. But why? The whole retreat, I've been reading passages like the Lord hears when I call to Him. Tommy says, you were praying for me? How? And I said, well, Tommy, to be honest, I was praying that the Lord would keep you safe last night and that we'd somehow hear from you. Huh. I said, Tommy, what you thinking? He said, I think your prayers saved my life last night. I said, how so? He said, because I had determined when I got off work, I was going to kill myself. And something told me to wait. And as I was texting him with my meaty thumbs, can you call? Just so much easier. And he said, can I call you? So he called, and we probably talked on the phone for about an hour and a half. And I'd love to be able to say to you now, and I mean the Lord answered in a greater way, and now Tommy is walking with the Lord, and it's all roses. I can't tell you that. I'm hopeful that today, as I helped him to find a church in the area that he's going to be going, I hope that he will read the Gospel of John, as I encouraged him to do, as we read a little bit together. So try to encourage him in the truths of Scripture. I had to leave the phone there, right? I just got to a point where that was enough for him. He was done talking, but he said, Uncle Kenny. I'm smiling for the first time for real than I have in a long time. Folks, God still answers prayer. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with Tommy, but this I do know. Wednesday night, God answered that prayer. And what is that going to do for me, knowing that God answered that prayer? It's encouraging me to pray for Tommy all the more. Why? Because God answered that other prayer. And God's not dead yet. He's not declined in any of His abilities. He's not grown deaf to my prayers. He can still hear me. He can still act. He can still save Tommy. Because that's according to His will. That dead, lost people come to life in Christ. So I'm jazzed to pray for Tommy. That's what David said. You have given me relief when I was in distress, so I'm coming to you again. And what prayer has God answered for you recently? And this is the common human condition. I will not be surprised or not think less of you if you responded to me, what prayer has God answered to you for you recently for you to go, I don't know. Because we're so weak. And because we are so now-oriented. And we forgot the prayer. Oh, God, just, Lord, could you get me up in the morning? I'm so tired. We forgot that He answered that prayer the next morning. or something as simple as someone going home and, man, I hope my wife, I hope my mother has cooked this. I love it. And then there it is on the table. I know it seems to you as insignificant, right? But why is that not God answering prayer? We have such faulty memories and current struggles within us. Can I encourage you, when you perceive a prayer being answered, keep reminding yourself of that. That's what David does here in Psalm 1. He keeps bringing to his mind prayers of God that have been answered already. Keep reminding yourself. Why? Because you're forgetful. And it saps the energy out of your praying. Remind yourself of the times that God has answered. Then, can I encourage you? Tell each other of answered prayers. Because when I'm discouraged and I share with Naomi, God's just not hearing. I don't think God's hearing my prayer. I don't know. And she's able to say what? Well, what about the time that God did this? And what about the time that God did that? And remember when we prayed this and God did that? You've got to tell each other to help each other remember the answered prayers that God has given to us. Why? Because we're so forgetful. We're spiritually forgetful of the greatness and grandeur of God and all that He does for us. That if it's not the same today as we think it was a week ago or a year ago or 10 years ago, then we're just going to say to ourselves, not in so many words, God's not dead, or God's dead. God's dead to me, and so I don't pray. And you become your own God again, thinking you can manage the world better than Him. Keep reminding yourself. Keep fueling your passion to pray anew with the answers of the old. Tell it to others so they can remind you in those tender moments and you're tearful and I feel so distant. I don't know if God knows me or loves me anymore. Yes, He does. Remember this. Remember this. Remember this. Remember this. And then in the middle of all that, remember that God does not give up on any that He holds. Remember that what God has started, He will see through to the end. And another thing that I would encourage you maybe to do, and I'm horrible at this, I try it in seasons, but it's always helpful when I do it, keep a journal of things that you're praying, and then go back and look at it every once in a while, and you're going to say, oh, wait, I forgot all about that one. I did pray about that, and God answered. Encourage yourself with the prayers that God is answering. Brothers and sisters, the point of the morning is this. The Lord hears when I call to Him. The Lord hears when I call to Him. God's word, never failing, always true, always trustworthy. The Lord hears when I call to Him. So, according to the text, the question before us is not will He hear or answer, but will we pray? Will we pray? Will we plead? Will we beg? Will we get on our knees and our faces before the Lord and just prostrate ourselves before the all-sovereign and acknowledge that we don't get to demand Him? He doesn't have to give us anything. He's given us His Son already and eternity with Him. Everything else would be gravy, but Lord, while I'm here, would you please do this? I see this in your Scripture. Would you do this for somebody else? I see this in your Scripture. Would you do this for me? And if it's according to your will. The question before us is not, will He answer? Or will He hear? But will we pray? Let us run, therefore, to the throne of grace and mercy. Christ died so you could pray and be heard. Christ did not die so you could be comfortable and order your own lives. The throne room of grace and mercy was closed before the cross. And the doors have been blown off the hinge at His resurrection. Pray. Unashamedly. But what will other people? You're not talking to other people. You're talking to God. But my brothers and sisters will hear. And some of them just might say yes. And amen. I'm with you too. And some might be encouraged. Lord, I thought I was the only one pleading like that. Might give us opportunity as you bare your soul in your closet or in this room to have others to come around you and put their arm around you and hold you up, just as Moses was held up by two servants. We all need to be borne up together as we pray. And so that's what I want to do this morning. We're going to go from classroom to lab. Right? If we're not careful, that's all this becomes, is a classroom where we hear good principles, good theorems, good axioms, and then go home, have a roast, turn on the TV, and forget it all. Right? Don't tell me that doesn't happen. So to prevent that, because Satan would love nothing more than to take the Word of God and pluck it away over a roast. Let's pray. Well, Pastor Kevin, what do you want us to pray about? Just pray. Maybe there are some in here who need to pray. Father, help me want to pray. Maybe some will need to pray, Father, forgive me because I had gotten to the place I didn't think you heard me anymore. Maybe some will just rise and thank the Lord. In fact, I would encourage that if some of you are mindful even now as I was talking about answered prayers, if I could ask you just to simply rise and thank the Lord for an answered prayer and let others hear this is not just a Pastor Ken thing, that the Lord really does hear the prayers of those who call upon Him. Maybe you just want to stand up and adore the Lord for a moment. That's a part of prayer. Maybe you want to confess something. Maybe you need to get next to another because you know before you pray to Him, you've got to seek reconciliation with one another. That's okay. Maybe you want to cry out for a loved one, for the seeking, saving Savior to rescue one more. Maybe you want to cry out with Moses. Show me your glory. Maybe you want to pray, Lord, I'm neck deep in pride and don't want to pray. Pray. The Lord hears when I call to Him. Ephesians chapter 3. To Him who is able to do all that we ask and even more than we can imagine. Jesus reminded us that with God all things are possible. Paul reminds us, He who has given us His Son, how will He not also give us all things? According to His will, according to His way, according to His name. Oh, it's no accident that in that great national command that the Lord gives in 2 Chronicles starts like this. If my people pray. So let's pray. And I'm one of us, and I've been one for longer than this church. Listen, I know when it comes time for pray, we're neat and tidy. We stay in tight boxes, right? If you want to kneel, kneel. You want to sit, sit. You want to lay on the floor and confess your sins, lay on the floor before a holy God and confess your sins. You need to move across the room and go ask somebody else for forgiveness. You're not disrupting prayer. Go and move and obey God and then pray. You want to pray quietly? You are free to do that. If you want to pray out loud, you are free to do that. But His people, His house, is to be a praying place. Quiet, loud, sitting, kneeling, prostrate, standing. Where you are or moving across to somebody else. Lord, to You we come. to the one who says he will hear and answer and draw near to the righteous for all who call on him. Oh God, hear our prayers.